Do you know what OTC means? OTC. Some of you will know clearly. Over the counter. OTC means over the counter. Over the counter refers to the medicines that can be legally obtained without a prescription. Okay? Over the counter. You can obtain medicine from non-legal forms. That's not over-the-counter stuff, okay? Over-the-counter is what you can obtain through legally obtained without a prescription to go and get that medicine. The statistic is that you and I in this country, we make 2.9 billion trips to buy over-the-counter medicine. In a year, 2.9 billion times we're driving to the store to get some over-the-counter medicine. To me, that seems like a gig they got going there on the over-the-counter medicines. It says that the average household spends about $338 a year on over-the-counter medicines. So just so you know, in 2018, there was 127.959 million households in this country. Each of those households spent an average of $338 to obtain an over-the-counter medicine, which comes up to just over $43 billion are spent on those 2.9 billion trips to get over-the-counter medicine. Just so you know, and I'm always interested in this, that's 430 tons of $100 bills. How much we spend on over-the-counter medicine. Just so you know, if you piled $43 billion on one side of the scale, you would have to balance that out with 172 full-size pickup trucks on the other side of the scales. And those 2.9 billion trips, we spend $43 billion to obtain some sort of over-the-counter medicine. Each one of those over-the-counter medicines has a label on it that tells us what it will do for us. They're making some bold proclamations in those statements. There's ones that are very, very popular. That are of over-the-counter medicine that are way more popular than others. Some of the most popular ones are Pepto-Bismol. That's one of the most popular over-the-counter. And you can see the little blow-up on the side of what it's promising that it will do for you. So take this, ingest this, and we promise that it'll take care of your nauseous and your heartburn and your indigestion and your upset stomach and your diarrhea. You can hear the commercial too, can't you? It said you can spend this, you can ingest this. This is what we'll do for you. One of the other popular medicines that is over the counter is Lotrimin. It's not my statistic, as I Googled it. So, Lotrimin apparently is for athlete's feet, right? And you're supposed to rub it on your feet, and it says clinically proven to cure. I love it. Most athlete's feet. I was like, can you make non-athlete's feet athletic if I rub that stuff on my feet? So, can you make me a runner if I just run that? But it says it'll relieve itching and burning and cracking and scaling. One of the other popular medicines is Orajel. Orajel, and that was 2.9 billion trips, and some of that $43 billion is spent on Orajel. Orajel is promising us maximum protection or maximum relief for tooth pain or gum pain. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of over-the-counter medicines, and each one of them has a promise that if you apply this product in this way, it'll do this for you. We believe it so much that we will drive 2.9 billion times to the store, and we will spend 430 tons of $100 bills on obtaining that, because it promises that it'll do that for you. I'm wondering, as we're navigating through this journey together, that if we start to ingest some of the stuff that God has said, I want you to ingest this stuff. I want you to take this stuff. I want you to rub this stuff on your teeth. I want you to rub it on your feet. I want you to obtain these items. I wonder what they'll do for us. And we've been navigating through that in the journey that we've been on for several weeks. And Peter tells us this, for this very reason, drive to the store even if it's snowing. Even if you have to walk, even if you have to change the tire before you go, because going to this store, one of your 2.9 billion times, it will pay dividends. But you need to obtain the over-the-counter. You need to open it. You need to consume it and allow it to do what it promises it'll do. And Peter's saying this. He's making some very, very, very bold statements here. He said, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control perseverance, and to your perseverance godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness. Start to consume these items. And we don't have it on the screen today, but verse 8 says they will keep you from being ineffective in your relationship with Jesus. That's a bold statement. That's some fine print that needs to be blown up in our life. And it's promising these things. You ingest these things. You take these things. You apply these things to your life. And they'll keep you from being ineffective in your relationship with Jesus. In your intimacy with Jesus. And we have navigated through some of these very things. But today we're down to this brotherly kindness. How do I add BK to my life? How do I add that to my life? How do we add brotherly kindness to our being? I know how to add Pepto-Bismol, and I really don't care for that stuff. I'd almost rather drink the Orajel. We had a nurse in high school that was the, you went to the nurse and you got Pepto-Bismol, baby. I don't care what was wrong with you. You know what I think it was? I think it was her secret plan to get you to stop coming to the nurse's station. Open up. I hurt my foot. Open up, you know. But how do I add brotherly kindness? I know how to add Pepto-Bismol to my life. And I can read the package and I can know how to add Lotrimin or Orajel to my life. But how do I add brotherly kindness to my life? It's promising. It's promising that it'll keep me from being ineffective in my relationship with Jesus. So how do we add it to our being? Perhaps this is just a thought of mine, and this is what I'm doing in my life right now. I'm beginning to ask God, will you just help me add brotherly kindness? Will you just ask it? Will you just add it to my life? Because I don't want to be ineffective in my relationship, God, and I don't know how to add it. I haven't read the label enough yet. I don't know how to take it. I don't know if I drink it or if I put it in my ears or if it's an eye salve or if it's for my feet. I don't know, God, and I'm just going to start asking God. This is my plan for myself, and I'm going to invite you to do it too. Just start asking God. God, I want BK, vitamin BK in my life. I want vitamin BK in my life, and I don't know how to do that, God, but you do. You're the one who said it. You're the one who put the label on it. You're the one who promised that it would keep me from being ineffective in my relationship with Jesus. So here I stand before you, God, today, and I'm just saying, God, I need vitamin BK. I just need vitamin BK. Will you just add it to my life? And I'm going to spend time. I'm going to spend time every single day asking God to add brotherly kindness to my life because I need it. Why do I need it? I don't have any other diagnosis that I don't want to be ineffective in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because right now I don't know what else it'll do for my life. But I know that it'll keep me from being ineffective in my relationship with Jesus. And I got to be honest with you, that's enough. That is enough. I don't know if it'll make me be more friendly. I don't know what it'll do. And maybe we can unpack some of that as we go. But I'm telling us what it'll do. Jesus promises that it'll keep you from being ineffective in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So add to your godliness BK. You need vitamin BK. I need it. You need it. The level of BK that is offered, this vitamin that is being offered, comes only because we have faith. It says add to your faith this vitamin BK, this brotherly kindness. So this is not run-of-the-mill, over-the-counter type of BK. It's a special BK. It's a brotherly kindness that only God can write the prescription for. And God has already written a prescription for that. So maybe it's not over the counter because I need to add it to my faith. Without my faith, I do not have the ability to add this level of vitamin BK to my life. Well, what are the design actions of the brotherly kindness or brotherly love translated some places? What will happen? What will happen as I start to ingest BK? What will happen if I start to ingest brotherly kindness? And I listen, I can make the list too. Does that mean I'd have to start doing this and this and start liking this person and start over here? I don't know that stuff. Just start sucking it up and see what it does to you. Just open the bottle and start taking it. In the name of Jesus, I take BK. I'm taking more BK. You're going to be a nicer person. I don't know, God. I don't know if I'm going to be nicer or harder to get along with, but I know it'll keep me being ineffective in my relationship with Jesus. And that's what I'm after. And I got to take the side effects. It might just make you nicer. I get a hint that it might do that. They do call it brotherly love or brotherly kindness. God, well, I just want my relationship with Jesus to grow, but I don't really want to like the people around me. That's going to be a side effect. I'm just sorry. It's just the way it is. Your godliness is going to get you in line with God and start acting like God, and brotherly kindness probably is going to have an effect on the people around you and you. But what will happen when we start to ingest this brotherly kindness? Do we even dare take this medicine? Brotherly kindness is out of the word we know of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is made up of two words in the Greek. One that means to have affection for. Now we're starting to see, now we're saying, now I don't know if I'm going to take BK every morning. How about once a week, God? How about a monthly thing? Can I just take it monthly? Because you're asking me to take something that I'm going to have this affection for, or the feeling of fondness. I love this definition. A feeling of fondness or tenderness, sometimes as opposed to reason. That's not my definition. That's out of Webster. It says you're going to think you're crazy. You're going to think yourself is crazy. I have no reason why I should start having this feeling for those people around me. God says that's because you're taking vitamin BK. And you're getting this strong affection for those people around you. And the second half of that word is brother. So we know this strong affection, to have an affection for a brother or a sibling or a sister. To have this strong affection for a brother or a sister. Not just our blood brothers and sisters, but our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm not just talking about the people sitting next to you. I'm talking about people throughout this world. I'm starting talking, God's going to do something. Does that make sense? God's going to do something in us. And not only are you going to start to have a strong affection for those people that you're sitting in this room with, but all of a sudden, you're going to start caring about those brothers and sisters in Africa. I'm telling you, it's going to screw with us. It's going to mess us up because one of the side effects is it starts to do away with selfishness. When you start taking vitamin BK, selfishness starts to dwindle down. And all of a sudden, you get this strong affection for those that are in the faith, for those brothers and sisters in Christ. Hang on. Next week, we'll talk about loving the world and loving our enemy. But today, we're talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think that that's in order for a reason. Obviously, God put it in this order. That's a good reason. But he said, if you have no love for each other, if you have no strong affection for the brothers and sisters in Christ, how are you ever going to love this world? How are you going to ever love your enemies? Because that love will not be reciprocated back to you. The love of the world and the love of the enemy, they're not going to love you back. But brotherly kindness, when you take it, and you take it, and I take it, all of a sudden something starts happening in this congregation and also in this world. Does that make sense? So he said, take it. Take it. Take it. You're going to get this strong affection for those around you, the brothers and sisters in Christ. When you start to ingest it, they're going to start to do something inside of you. the affection for the brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we dare even start taking the vitamin BK drug? What will happen? I think the effects will be threefold, at least threefold on us. Because all of a sudden you're going to start seeing others like God wants you to see them. When you start drinking the vitamin BK, I think something's going to happen. And I think there's at least three effects it's going to have on us. Because you're going to start drinking this affection and this for the brothers and sisters, this fondness for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, let me say, not only here in this situation, but in the world. Can you imagine if every believer in Jesus Christ was filled up with BK, with vitamin BK, and all of a sudden they started having this strong affection for one another. What we would do for one another. What we would do for one another here, and what we would do for one another around this world. When we know that our brothers and sisters are doing or going through this or that, what would we do if that brotherly kindness would rise up in us? And we would be the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And we would go into their world. And no brother or sister is going to go alone. And we would stand with them. And we would help and we would do whatever God's calling us to do. But I think God's calling us to do a bunch of stuff, but we got no BK in us. I think that the effects will be at least threefold. Let me navigate them through. And I tried to cut this one down. I only got 5 pages of notes today, so just relax. See, I normally have like 6, maybe lapped over into 7. I said, Lord, I'm going to preach like this mini sermon on healing, which, just so you know, as an aside, we'll preach a full-blown sermon in January when we hear all the testimonies of what God has done in the last 13 weeks. What happens when I start drinking the BK? When every morning I go before God and say, God, a spoonful of BK for me, please. I think the first one that comes from Ephesians 2:19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's house. He says, just so you know, when this house happens, when this happens, what he's talking about in the first 18 verses of Ephesians and even into chapter 1, that all of a sudden, when you hear it and I hear it, guess what? We all become citizens of God's house. We all become members of the same family. We'll begin to have, and I call it sibling awareness. You'll be starting to have sibling awareness. You'll start to be aware of the siblings around you in Jesus Christ and the siblings around this world. You'll start to become aware that they are other brothers and sisters in Christ. And you'll start to have this care, this fondness, and you'll start to know who they are. And you'll start to be moved toward them because they are members of the same house that you are members of. Our DNA and their DNA and your DNA and my DNA. At the point when that happens in our life, at a crime scene, they should not be able to tell the difference in your spiritual DNA and my spiritual DNA, because we're both sons of the Most High God. We're both siblings of the Most High God. We're daughters of the Most High God. You and I are aware of each other as siblings of God. That your dad and their dad is the same dad. People search for a lifetime to find their parents or to find. And God says, I put that in you so you know who you are. But know who you are in me and know who you are. And I need to know who you are. And drinking brotherly kindness will allow me to know who you are too. And all of a sudden I start to get this affection, this strong bond with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Because I realize that they're children of the same Father. I realize that I believe that we will grasp that we are members of the same family. That we are the workmanship of the same God. We're in the same toolbox. We are the same servants of the same master. We are the servants of the same master. We are the salt of the same earth. We are the light of the same world. We are the branch of the same vine. We are friends of the same Christ. We are chosen to bear powerful fruit, that we are justified. We are the justified ones. We are raised up with Christ, that we are slaves to righteousness, that we are free from the guilty verdict. Your brothers and sisters are as free from the guilty verdict as you are. It's in their DNA. In Jesus' name, it's in your DNA. You are free from the guilty verdict, and so is the brother in Christ. So stop treating someone else like they're guilty of something when they're your sibling. And if you're free, they're free. And we start to get this affection for them because we realize that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I just love it. When I was a kid, when my mom and dad, I always said I had a drug problem. My mom and dad drug me to church on Sunday and drug me to church on Sunday night, drug me to church on Wednesday. As a little kid, I can remember running in the sanctuary. And I would get just disciplined for running in the sanctuary, whether it was by my parents or not, by the pastor or whatever else, by people, by whatever. You don't run in the sanctuary. Listen, I'm not advocating go destroy the sanctuary. But while I hear that, running in the sanctuary, don't run in the sanctuary, then all of a sudden I start hearing people slander other people. And I start hearing people gossip about other people. And I start learning that I am the temple. I am the sanctuary where God lives. And I can't run in this building, but I can run over a brother or sister in Christ. That's just wrong. When you have brotherly kindness and you take it in there, we're going to be sibling aware. We're going to wear that they stand with us and we stand with them. And we both stand with Jesus. And that we are the new creation and we are alive with Christ. That we are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realm. That we are holy and dearly loved by God. That we are children of the light. That we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That we are living stones. That we are aliens. All of us aliens and strangers in this world. That we are the enemy of the devil. That we are a holy nation. That we are a people belonging to God. All of us in Jesus Christ. I think when you start eating a little vitamin BK, you're going to start realizing you're sitting next to your brother. And that's not just a cool thing to say or something to wear on your t-shirt. That's a reality. And it'll help you from being ineffective in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. Do you know who you're sitting next to, Nick? You're sitting next to someone who is the temple of the Most High God. Be careful how you treat them. Brotherly kindness causes us to value our brothers and sisters at the highest level. The second thing I think BK will do is cause us to be each other's advocates. I think we'll have sibling advocates. I think we'll be sibling advocates. I think the advocate is this. Push the button. The advocate is this one who defends and promotes. I think you're going to have people when we start to eat this vitamin BK that all of a sudden comes alongside of you and it matters. It matters if you succeed. It matters if your relationship with Jesus goes forward. It matters. We'll have siblings that are advocates for each other. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Not unless you've taken vitamin BK. Because number one, if you're not doing that because you don't care enough, because you're low on vitamin BK. Well, I got myself with God. I got my thing with God. I got my thing with God. Well, good for you and God. You got nothing this way. And if you're going to be effective in your relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You got to have something this way, is what the scriptures say. And you got advocates, and I need an advocate, and you need an advocate. We need people who care if we score, or people that will come alongside and help us score. And listen, you can make a list of things that I've fallen on, and I can make a list of things that I've fallen on, and I can make a list of things you've fallen on, and you can make a list of things that you have fallen on. That's not what we're talking about today. Because maybe we're all a little anemic on brotherly kindness. Just read the label. As you start to take it, this is going to happen. It's a guarantee it's going to happen. You're all of a sudden going to start caring if somebody else moves ahead in their faith in Jesus Christ. You're going to be their advocate. You're going to be their sharpening stone, and they're going to be yours. Can you imagine how sharp we can get it? If you get the right tools, you can get an axe so sharp that you can slice paper with it. That's not hypothetical. That's a reality. And if you can be sharpened by someone else that cares, that's taking vitamin BK, if you can be sharpened and I can be sharpened, watch out. We're going to become this weapon that's sharp. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I think that without vitamin BK, we will carry no one's burdens because we'll think ours are too big to carry anyone else's. As a matter of fact, if I'm a little low on vitamin BK, I might just look at them and say, I think they deserve it. Wow. Be careful with that thinking. That's not God thinking. Because if God gave us everything we deserved, we would be nowhere. And when we start thinking other people deserve it, they deserve it, they deserve it. They made their bed, they can lay in it. Hey, they did this, they deserve it, they deserve it, they deserve it. That's not a sign of vitamin BK. A sign of vitamin BK is when you come alongside of someone else. And it matters if they're trying to drag a 16-foot plank through and up the stairs to the second level of the house. Because you'll get behind it and you'll pick up that plank and you'll help them navigate it to the second story. Why? Because you love them. Because you have a strong affection for them. Why? Because you are a sibling of theirs. Hebrews says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. When was the last time you did that in someone's life? That you were committed to helping someone else move forward in their relationship with Jesus. Hebrews 10:25 says this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. I love it. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approach. Without vitamin BK, we may think that this meeting of the church is even less than necessary. Well, I don't really need to go there. Guess what? It's not all about you. You're low on BK. When you start saying those things, well, I don't really need to be there. You know what I think you need? You need some vitamin BK. Because the other people around you may need you there. It's not Walmart, it's the church. And he said, you drink some vitamin BK. And it matters. It matters if you are with someone. It matters if you're walking with someone. It matters. Number three, and finally, I think there'll be a sibling alliance. I think there's going to be a sibling awareness. And I think there's going to be, I made them all A's just so I can remember them. I tried to spell a cool word. I couldn't spell any word. It came up like, you know, sup. Didn't work. But I think I'll be sibling aware. I think I'll be a sibling advocate. And I think I'm going to be a sibling. There's going to be a sibling alliance. You know what the word alliance means? It means it's a group of people who agree to cooperate to achieve a common goal. Matthew 5, let me just read this, just so you know. Just so you know, he's talking to at least 12 guys right here in this passage. because this is a Sermon on the Mount. And he's got at least some 12 guys around him. And I think, see, I always read this as like he's talking to me personally. And okay, I can read it that way, but he's talking to 12 guys, at least 12 guys together. And he says this, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Not just you, but you are the light of the world." A city, don't you like it? He doesn't say a house. See, so this stuff starts to make sense to me when I start just allowing God to move my heart. I've always read that, yeah, I'm the light of the world. Yeah, you're a house. At best, 60-amp service. You're blowing breakers all the time. I'm not just talking to the houses here. I'm talking to the city. You're a city. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a lampstand and it gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Let your light, unified alliance, let your light shine before men. Because you're a city, sibling alliance. Because I have sibling advocates. Because I have siblings. In Jesus' name. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's good stuff. New life for houses, okay. But he calls us a city. The song goes, "The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty." Look at the proclamations this song's making about Jesus. "Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. And darkness tries to hide, and it loses. And trembles at his words." Trembles at his word. "How great is our God." Sing with me. "How great is our God." Then all will see how great is our God. Sibling alliance. Age to age he stands. We're a city, new life. We're a city and we've got this message of Jesus Christ. And he's not going away. Age to age he stands. This generation before us, the one we're in, and the generations to follow, nobody's voting him off the island. Sing with me, "How great is our God." Let's be a city, he says. But you need some BK. But you gotta be aware you got some siblings in the room and in the world. And you got some advocates in the room and in the world. So therefore, you got an alliance. And time is in his hand. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. Sing with me, "How great is our God." Then all will see. I know I've... My continued prayer is there's people in my life that I want to see them come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, because I want to stand with them hand in hand. I want to worship our God together. But the reality is, I've got it. I've got some of that right now. Sing with me, "How great is our God." And then all will see, "How great is our God." We're not just houses. We are a city. He's the name above all names, worthy of our praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Your name, that you're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And then all will see. For crying out loud, new life, we're a room full of siblings that need advocates so there can be an alliance. Would you stand with me today? With your eyes open, I've decided to pray with my eyes open from now on too. May you know this truth. God, may you infiltrate us with vitamin BK. And may this body know that they're in the room with brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're in this world with brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, may you help us be the advocates that each other needs. And may you let us, let others help us at times. God, I need advocates, and we need advocates, and New Life needs advocates. God, help us. And God, may we receive this alliance from God that only siblings can accomplish. That we will carry this message of Jesus Christ because we are a city and not just a house. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.
He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice.